This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
We will call the Public Utility Commission meeting to order. It is April 27th, 9:30 a.m., room 413 in the Capitol Building. I'm Chairman Nelson. I am in the committee room. Commissioners Fegan and Hansen are present on the telephone. Unless there's any objection, I think we can go through the agenda in order. We will start with consumer reports, and we're going to go to Kristen Edwards.
Thank you. This is Kristen Edwards filling in for Deb Gregg. The Commission received a total of 51 contacts since the last report was prepared for the August 19th, 2021 Commission meeting. 12 of the contacts related to telecommunications services, 14 contacts were related to electrical services, 2 contacts were related to natural gas service, 4 contacts were related to wireless service, 2 contacts were related to the Do Not Call Registry, 1 contact related to the Keystone XL pipeline, 1 contact was referred to One Call, 1 contact was referred to the Grain Warehouse Program, and 14 contacts were related to issues not regulated by the PUC. 1,316 of the 1,346 contacts received in 2021 have been resolved.
Thank you. Questions? Hearing no questions, thank you, Kristen. And a reminder to folks out there that PUC staff from the Consumer Department, from our Grain Warehouse Division, and commissioners will be at the State Fair for all 5 days, meeting with folks from across South Dakota, available to answer any questions you might have. With that, we will go to telecommunications, TC 21-037, in the matter of the filing by Clarity Telecom doing business as Vast Broadband for approval of revisions to its access services tariff. Number one, we will go to Clarity.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, Chairman Nelson, members of the Commission. My name is Darla Pullman Rogers, and I'm here representing Clarity Telecom this morning. We appreciate the chance to bring this docket before you. Just to give you a little bit of a background, we filed revised tariff pages on June 7th of 2021, and I really appreciate your staff's involvement in this. Patrick called me, had some, I thought, very good questions that I was not able to answer, and it took a little time, but we were finally able to organize a call among staff and the consultants, and as a result of that, then we actually revised our tariff pages, and I did a revised filing on August 12th. I think everything is good to go now, and so from our perspective, we would request that you approve the revised tariff pages, and this is, I would clarify, for the ILEC, for Clarity, the ILEC. And I also have John Boyk on the line in case there are any questions. Thank you very much.
Excellent. And when our staff can work with the companies to get those issues resolved, that's an excellent thing. And we'll go to staff. Mr. Stephenson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pat Stephenson of staff. Staff has reviewed the filing, and the company has made the revisions as recommended by staff. So staff would recommend the Commission approve the proposed tariff revisions effective July 1, 21. Thanks.
Excellent. Questions or motions?
Mr. Chairman, in TC 21-037, I move that the Commission approve the proposed tariff revisions with an effective date of July 1, 2021.
Discussion on the motion. Hearing none. All those in favor will vote
aye. First of all, I want to thank Darla Rogers for just reminding the three commissioners how hard our staff works. They always look at details, they analyze numbers, they analyze filings, and often they're the ones that find things that need to be corrected. So once again, to our staff, thank you so much. And thank you, Darla Rogers, for highlighting that.
Thank you. Additional discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. That takes us, before we go further, let me ask, John Blessing, have you joined us on the line?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. We are now on TC 21-079 in the matter of the filing of AT&T Corp for approval of revisions to its access services and network interconnection services tariff. AT&T, go ahead.
Yes, sir. We also filed our AYY tariff and worked with Mr. Stephenson, who was very great to work with. He had some questions, some really good questions about our filing. We worked with him, and I went back to my tariff staff and worked with them, and we got things in order and filed it again, and I think he was satisfied with that. So with your approval, we appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pat Stephenson of staff. Staff has reviewed the filing, and the company has made revisions as recommended by staff, so staff would recommend the commission approve the proposed tariff revisions effective July 1, 2021. Thanks.
Thank you. Questions or motions? In TC 21-079, I move that the commission approve the proposed tariff revisions with an effective date of July 1st, 2021. Discussion on the motion. Hearing none. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, John. That will bring us TC 21-094. In the matter of Interstate Telecommunications Cooperative, formerly known as SS Telecom, for approval of revisions to its access services tariff number one, ITC.
Thank you. This is Wendy Harper of Vantage Point on behalf of ITC CLEC. The revised tariff pages were filed to ITC CLEC's Interstate Switched Access Tariff Number 1 in order to bring the rates in compliance with recent FCC order regarding establishing separate toll-free and non-toll-free originating end office and transport rates, as well as the mandated rate phase down for 800 database query services. ITC respectfully requests the proposed tariff revisions become effective as filed and would like to thank staff and commission for their time in this matter.
Thank you. Staff.
Thank you. This is Eric Paulson for staff, and staff recommends the commission approve the proposed tariff revisions with an effective date of July 15th, 2021. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions, motions?
Mr. Chairman, in TC 21-094, I move that the commission approve the proposed tariff revisions with an effective date of July 15, 2021.
Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries.
Carries.
Brings us to TC 21-098. In the matter of the approval of the unbundling and resale requirements amendment to the interconnection agreement between Quest Corporation doing business as CenturyLink QC and Entrado Communications LLC for the state of South Dakota, Mr. Topp.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson, and TC 21-098, as well as on the agenda 21-104. These are more interconnection agreement amendments to comply with changes in FCC rules. We'd ask for approval.
Perfect, and we will take those together. I appreciate that. Staff.
Thank you. This is Eric Paulson for staff. Staff has reviewed the filings, and they are properly executed and filed, and they don't appear to contain any discriminatory language. No comments were filed. Staff recommends approval of the amendments to the interconnection agreements. Thank you.
And Ms. Melhoff on 104.
I agree with what Eric just said. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, that's a good thing. Questions, motions? In TC 21-098... I will move that the commission approve the replacement amendment to the interconnection agreement. And in TC 21-104, I move the commission approve the amendment to the interconnection agreement. Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Jason. Takes us to TC 21-100 in the matter of the filing of Entrado Communications LLC for approval of revisions to its access services tariff number 2. We'll go to Entrado.
Kerry Rossell here for Entrado. And again, these were tariff filings made in compliance with the FCC AYY order.
and we'd be happy to take any questions and appreciate staff working on this.
Thank you. Staff.
Thank you. This is Eric Paulson for staff. Staff has reviewed the filing and recommends commission approve the tariff revisions with an effective date of July 31st, 2021. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Motions?
Mr. Chairman, in TC21-100, I move that the commission approve the proposed tariff revisions with an effective date of July 31st, 2021.
Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. That'll bring us to TC21-102 in the matter of the approval of the amended interconnection agreement between Mid-Continent Communications doing business as Midco and Alliance Communications Cooperative, and we'll go to Midco first.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. This is Pat Mastel on behalf of Midco. The parties had an existing interconnection agreement for Crooks and Baltic, along with Brandon EAS. This amendment merely expands the Brandon EAS to a full interconnection agreement. The parties have negotiated it, both sides in good faith. We've answered a couple questions from staff, and we would ask for approval.
Thank you. Alliance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Meredith Moore, appearing on behalf of Alliance Communications. I would concur with Mr. Mastel's comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Staff.
Thank you. This is Kristen Edwards for staff. Staff has reviewed the filing and recommends approval.
Questions? Motions?
Mr. Chairman, in TC21-102, I move that the commission approve the amendment to the interconnection agreement.
Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor, hold on. Go ahead.
That's all right. We have a lag on the phone here. Just wanted to say it's always great, as we have mentioned before, to see our utilities working together.
Thank you. Other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carried. Thank you. And our last telecom docket, TC21-105, in the matter of the filing of Neutral Tandem South Dakota LLC for approval of revisions to its access services tariff number 1. I don't see anybody on the line from Neutral Tandem.
Actually, Kerry Rosell is here. Again, I did Entrada, but I'm also doing Telequa. Actually, Neutral Tandem, sorry.
Again,
it was a filing made in compliance with the FCC's AYY order, and we appreciate staff's consideration.
Thank you. Staff.
Staff.
Thank you. This is Eric Paulson for staff. Staff has reviewed the filing and recommends the commission approve the proposed tariff revisions with an effective date of August 3rd, 2021. Thank you.
Questions or motions?
Mr. Chairman, in TC21-105, I move that the commission approve the proposed tariff revisions with an effective date of August 3rd, 2021.
Discussion on the motion.
Discussion on the motion.
Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carried. Thank you. We'll move on to our electric dockets, beginning with EL21-011 in the matter of the application of Black Hills Power, Inc., doing business as Black Hills Energy, to amend its cogeneration and small power production services tariff. And the question today, shall the commission grant the motion to suspend the procedural schedule, or how shall the commission proceed? And we're going to go to Black Hills first.
Thanks, Chairman. This is Jason Cobb, Regulatory Manager and Finance Manager for Black Hills. This motion is to suspend the procedural schedule for 30 days. We are working towards a stipulation with the intervening parties, and we will hopefully get a stipulation within the 30 days. If we don't, we will be back. Request a new procedural schedule. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. There were a number of interveners in this. I don't see any of them on the phone line, but I'll just wait a moment to see if anybody identifies themselves. And nobody present, so we will go to staff.
Thank you. This is Kristen Edwards for staff. All parties have signed this stipulation and motion to suspend the procedural schedule with the exception of the Hammonds, who it's my understanding were traveling, but they did contact me to communicate their support for this stipulation today. As noted in the filing, it would be our intent to come before you within the next 30 days with either a request for a new procedural schedule or a stipulation to resolve and close this docket. We are optimistic about the latter and look forward to being back before you in the near future.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? Hearing no questions, motions.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go ahead, Commissioner Hansen.
In EL 21-011, I move that the commission grant the motion to suspend the procedural schedule.
Thank you. And I assume that motion includes the further instruction that a stipulation be filed within 30 days or a request for a new procedural schedule, correct?
Yes, I intended to do that, and I see that on my notes right here.
Thank you. With that compound motion, discussion on the motion.
Well, Mr. Chairman, perhaps this is not the first docket in the country to pursue this idea. It's certainly, I believe, the first in South Dakota. It's very unique, at least in the country, and I'm glad to see the consumers and the utility and our staff, the PUC staff, working to arrive at as fair a tariff as possible. And I'm glad to see that they're still hard at it.
Thank you. Additional discussion. I will simply say, obviously, there's been a lot of interest in this particular docket, and I am most interested to see what type of resolution the parties may come up with, and if they don't, proceeding to a hearing where we can sort out the various issues. Additional discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carried, and thank you all for working together to get to this point. That brings us to EL 21-017 in the matter of the Otter Tail Power Company's petition for approval of phase-in rider rates, and we will go to, let me check first of all, Carrie Stephenson, have you joined us from Otter Tail?
Yes, I have, Mr. Chair. I apologize. I'm in the room with my colleagues.
No problem. And Amber Stahlberger, are you with us?
I am.
Excellent. So whoever from Otter Tail wants to take this, go ahead.
All right. Well, good morning, Chair Nelson and Commissioners. This is Lynn Walters with Otter Tail Power. Thank you for reviewing Otter Tail Power's second annual update to the phase-in rider. Thank you also to the staff for their time filing and putting together a comprehensive staff memo. After reviewing the memo, we accept the document as written and recommend the commission approve Otter Tail's annual update. Thank you again, commission. We are available for questions at this time.
Thank you. Staff.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. This is Joe Rizek with staff. Staff has reviewed the filing and the company has responded to staff's data requests. Staff filed a memo on the docket and would recommend the commission approve the $345,137 revenue requirement for the September 1st, 2021 through August 31st, 2022 plan year and the resulting 1.351% of bill phase-in rider factor effective September 1st, 2021.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? We'll go to Commissioner Hansen first. Any questions?
No, thank you.
Commissioner Fegan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I want to thank our staff and actually Otter Tail for years and years of analyzing the numbers and making sure South Dakota customers benefit. And so I just want to make that little statement, not necessarily on the filing, but Astoria, of course, is our new combined cycle gas plant that is 245 megawatts in South Dakota that I think went operational in May. Could you tell us a little bit, so when we travel across the state, of course, we hear some questions, and one of them is about the process and the engineering and the sound. And so can you kind of tell us how that's going, and then how you inform our Public Utilities Commission staff to make sure the process is working and the sound requirements and the permit is working?
Well, that's... Commissioner Egan, that's a good question. I don't have our engineers with us to have that in-depth discussion. I know that there was an issue with sound, and there was a letter filed on June 3rd that we were going to limit the load for the Astoria station plant to 235 megawatts. Or standard periods of dispatch, but that's the probably the amount of information that I'm aware of. We could certainly get back to you with further information on that.
Sure, I would certainly love that. And if you could continue to keep staff informed and maybe file another letter, that would be informative to the commissioners. As we travel across the state, we just need to make sure that the engineering is working. So thank you, Commissioner Nelson, for allowing me. Thank you.
And additional questions. So the question, I'm going to throw this first to Otter Tail and then maybe the same question to staff. So obviously this filing is going to result in a pretty significant decrease, the proposed decrease in rate of $3.75 a month for a typical residential customer. And we can go through this filing and figure out exactly the components that make up that decrease. I'm following all of that. Makes good sense. But my question is, we're obviously with this filing seeing a significant change in generation makeup. Closing Hoot Lake, opening Astoria, new wind. So the question is, while we're seeing the decrease in this particular part of the rate, what is the impact going to be on the fuel clause and the purchase power portion of the rate? Do we have a feel for whether those numbers are going to increase because of these generation changes? Stay the same, decrease? Can anybody speak to that?
We're looking around the table right now, and we don't have that analysis with us right now. But again, that's something we can certainly look into and get back to you. Specifically on that detail, there's a lot of factors that go into that. So,
yes, and I will grant that readily to you. There's a lot of factors that do go into that. I don't think whatever that shows is going to impact on how we deal with this docket or resolve this docket today. But I think from a transparency perspective to both the commission and the public, I think it's important to know that while we're heralding a rate decrease in this particular part of the bill, I want to make sure that it's not at the expense of an increase in that other portion of the bill that we're not seeing today. And so I'm not going to hold up the docket over that question, but I think maybe filing something after this that talks to that question would certainly be helpful, and I think a positive thing for both the commission and the public. Let me throw that same question to any of the staff analysts that were working on this docket, if you have any insight into that question.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman Nelson. I can try to take a swing at it. As Otter Tail, and as you're aware, it is a complex issue when you start trying to determine net effects that are going to be showing up on the fuel clause. Like, it will depend upon the type of market prices that are out there and whether what's being dispatched at what time. So it's hard to give you a concrete answer at this point, and yeah, it would take a little bit of analysis and working with the company to try to determine what kind of the actual true impact to the fuel clause after some of these changes in generation are taking place.
Thank you. And that's honest. I'll tell you, I think that's the best answer you can come up with today, because it is complex. The one thing I would throw into that is it's not just what market prices is, but how much they're going to end up relying on the market. Is it more than in the past or less than in the past, given these generation changes and how that impacts in this? So I guess I'd simply say to Otter Tail, if you can file something that would speak to that question and that concern of mine, I would appreciate it. Additional commissioner questions? Yeah, Commissioner Ryslov.
Not quite. Commission Advisor Greg Ryslov, if you could add to what you provide the operational hours experienced at Hoot Lake over the past year or two, however often it was running, you know, what its output was, and compare that to what you expect from the new combined cycle plant, that might be helpful too. Although the cost may differ, the operational hours will also affect the final analysis. So adding that to Commissioner Nelson's request, I think, would be helpful too. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other additional questions? Motions. In EL...
Go ahead,
Commissioner Fegan.
Mr. Chairman, in EL21-017, I move that the Commission approve Otter Tail Power Company's phase-in rider rate and revised tariff sheets with an effective date of September 1st, 2021.
Discussion on the motion.
So this filing may look easy to the public, but this filing has many, many years of staff analysis working with the company. The staff many years ago, not many, but several years ago, analyzed numbers, especially for the credit due to load growth. They made sure that the South Dakota customers made sure that we benefited and that we didn't have additional costs for a large load. And I certainly appreciate what the staff have done, and I look forward to seeing what Otter Tail will do in the future. And they're a company that is very transparent with our staff and the commissioners, and I appreciate that.
Additional discussion. I would just reemphasize again, this particular approval will lead to a significant rate reduction, at least in this part of the bill. And, you know, we will see from the filing that is to come how it may impact other portions of the bill. But at least for this part, a good reduction this year. Additional discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carried. Takes us to EL21-023 in the matter of the filing by Black Hills Power, Inc., doing business as Black Hills Energy, for approval of a contract with deviations with GCC Dakota, Inc., and we'll go to Black Hills.
Thanks, Chairman. This is Jason Kyle again, Manager of Regulatory Stamps for Black Hills Power. The docket before you today is a tariff amendment to add a business incentive agreement to our contract deviation page in our tariff. A little background on the contracts with deviation. GCC, we've been working with GCC, and we wanted to incentivize them for some energy growth that we're seeing, especially in the 21 and 22 timeframe. And it's really connected to their plan expansion. A while back, they did a $100 million investment into their plant. Back in 21, early 21 this year, we're pretty proud of them. They did get Energy Star certification on that plant. So they are using energy-efficient measures to run the plant. This incentive agreement is in the benefit of customers. We are taking this as a shareholder expense, so customers will not pay for it. Shareholders will be committed to 100% of the incentive that we have offered. Black Hills believes that this does follow the rules, and we ask that you approve the tariff amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Kyle. We'll go to staff.
Thank you. This is Brittany Melhoff for staff. Staff has reviewed the filing, and as Mr. Kyle just said, they confirmed that the shareholders will bear the burden of the incentive and other customers will not be harmed. Therefore, staff recommends the commission approve the contract deviations and the associated tariff revision with an effective date of September 1st, 2021. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? Commissioner Hansen, I'll go to you first.
No, thank you.
And Commissioner Feagin?
No questions.
That leaves Commissioner Nelson, and I do have questions. Obviously, the most important point in all of this was clarified with staff's data request 1-1, and that is the fact that, as has already been stated by both parties, Black Hills shareholders will bear 100% of the cost of this or lost revenue involved in this, and other customers will not. But my question is, for Black Hills, under your current tariff, in order for a business development service tariff exception, there are a number of things that the customer has to show, so far as the fact that, you know, absent this incentive, that they would source their electricity elsewhere, or that there may be, and that it's technically feasible for them to do that, and those types of things, and that the customer has taken substantial steps to evaluate those alternatives, and essentially has said to Black Hills, hey, I'm going to go elsewhere unless you give me this deal. And so I've not seen anywhere in this filing that particular analysis or documentation, and so my question for Black Hills is, can you help us understand how you were assured that that analysis had been done?
Yeah, I can take that, Chairman. The business development incentive, you know, in the tariff, we call it the BDI agreement. We didn't think that agreement was actually applicable. That's more for somebody that bypasses us or tries to bypass us. And we didn't feel like what we're trying to do with this incentive agreement, and if you look at the rules, it just needs to be the way we understand it, and we believe we did follow the rules, that it needs to be in the public interest for our contracts with deviations. We didn't think the business development incentive agreement actually applied. First of all, we didn't want to offer a three-year agreement to these guys. We are trying to incentivize GCC to, you know, do the load growth and see if we can sustain it. If we can sustain it, then the business development incentive agreement might come in place.
Thank you. I appreciate that explanation. I understand that explanation and appreciate that clarification that this is a different concept from your perspective than the business development portion, and that certainly makes sense. And again, I would stress the fact that your shareholders are taking the hit on this. It seems to work. Additional questions? Motions? In EL21-023, I move that the Commission approve the contract with deviations and associated tariff revision with an effective date of September 1st, 2021. Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carried. Thank you, gentlemen. And we will go now to GE20-002 in the matter of the investor-owned utilities joint request for deferred treatment of the financial effects of COVID-19 and the creation of a regulatory asset. And the question today, shall the Commission grant the requests of Montana, Dakota, Mid-American, and Northwestern to withdraw from the docket and cease their quarterly reporting requirements? And we'll just go down the line, starting with Montana, Dakota.
Well, good morning, Commissioners. Brett Kennecke here. I appreciate very much the Commission opening this docket last year. It's not lost on me that COVID was a shared experience for all of us, but it was different for everybody as well. And where we've ended up today is that it was different for all of the companies. Three of them feel the desire and the need to cease their participation, and a couple of the other ones want to go on and see where the path leads. And so appearing for Montana, Dakota this morning, we're just asking to be let out. We didn't create a regulatory asset, don't have any plans to turn around on this. As we indicated in the letter, if something changes, we'll be in touch with the Commission and see what, if anything, should be done about it. But as of right now, the folks at MDU would just like to stop reporting and not be a part of the docket any longer.
Thank you. Mid-American.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson and Commissioners, for allowing Mid-American Energy to come before you today. I'm Caitlin Lynch-Butcher, representing Mid-American, and with me today is Ann McMinmy, Director of our Regulatory and Business Unit Accounts, and Kelly Orcutt, Senior Customer Operations Analyst. And our request is very similar to MDU's request as well. So before you, for your consideration, is Mid-American's request to withdraw from this docket and end our quarterly reporting requirements. Mid-American has also determined that we will not be requesting a regulatory asset at this time in South Dakota, and we also did not record any cost to any regulatory asset in 2020 in South Dakota. So we're happy to answer any questions the Commission may have on this matter. Thanks.
Thank you. And Northwestern.
Good morning. This is Jeff Decker with Northwestern. And at the beginning of the pandemic, I guess none of us really knew for sure where this was all going to go. And we certainly wanted the opportunity to be able to recover some bad debt costs if that heated to extreme levels. And we watched that and tracked that. And earlier this year came to the determination that the amounts were not substantial as we feared they might become. And any costs that we had tracked, we have written off. Currently, the bad debt expense is very near that of 2019, so things have returned much closer to normal. So we have no further need to track costs or to continue to report. And so we desire as well to be removed from this particular docket.
Thank you. Staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pat Stephenson of staff. Given that these companies no longer plan to seek recovery of these COVID-related costs, staff views this request as appropriate. So staff would recommend the Commission grant the request of Montana, Dakota, Mid-American, and Northwestern to withdraw from the docket and cease quarterly reporting requirements. Thanks.
Any commissioner questions? Hearing none.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go ahead, Commissioner Hansen.
And docket GE20-002, I move that the Commission grant the requests of Montana, Dakota, Mid-American, and Northwestern to withdraw from the docket and cease quarterly reporting requirements.
Discussion on the motion.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know that there's mounds of paperwork involved in something of this nature, but I imagine there might be. But regardless of that, it's really good news to hear that people were paying their bills even during this very, very challenging time, and that the companies were able to not use the COVID-related reimbursement funds.
Additional discussion. I would like to say a couple of things. First of all, I'd echo Mr. Decker's comment about the fact when this docket was filed, we really didn't know and the companies didn't know where this was going. We didn't know if there were going to be substantial extra costs. We did not know what bad debt levels were going to be. Just a lot of unknown. And hence, I think the commission was certainly on board with creating these the possibility of these regulatory assets, given that unknown. But I want to give great credit to these three companies that since that time have worked to aggressively manage their expenses and particularly manage their bad debt amounts. And I recall when this was created, I expressed some concern about how the companies would handle the bad debt and would they be aggressive in working with customers to keep that level low. And as we've heard today, these three companies have done that. And I want to say to these three, thank you for doing that and bringing us to this point where we can let you out of this docket and move forward with business as usual. Well done. Additional discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carried. Thank you for all being involved in that. Brings us to public comment. We don't have anybody signed up for public comment. Announcements. Commissioners and staff, as I mentioned earlier, will meet with consumers at the South Dakota State Fair September 2nd through the 6th. Our next regular meeting will be Tuesday, September 14th, 9:30 a.m. right here in Room 413. Anything else for the good of the order? Hearing none, is there a motion?
Move to adjourn.
Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. We are adjourned.